So, Father, we thank you for Andrew. We thank you, Father, that you have been with him in his preparations. Father, in the preparations, you have held his hand, you have talked to him, and as you have done that, Father, we are believing and expectant this morning that you have a word for each and every one of us. So as Andrew preaches today, Father, may you divide that word into 100+ different ways so that it meets with each and every person's needs this morning. Thank you, Father, for Andrew's obedience. We thank you, Father, that as he speaks, it is you who is speaking through him. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. He'll be back shortly after a short break. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning, everybody. Morning. How are we? Good? Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Over the summer, I had the privilege of conducting a funeral for a gentleman called Ron Allen. Ron joined St. Barnabas Eisted Rise about four or five years ago. I think he was coming towards toward the end of his 80s when he joined us, and he was just great. Ron was just an amazing member of our church. We just loved him to pieces, and sadly he died a couple of months ago, and I got to do his funeral. But the interesting thing was his grandson was doing a eulogy, and It's not very often you hear people sharing jokes at funerals, is it? Not very often, which I thought was a little bit unusual. I just couldn't resist it. I couldn't resist sharing it with you. And it kind of fits in with our theme of beginning with the end in mind, not just taking the things that we think we know in our hearts and our minds, things that we believe in. We can sometimes take them for granted. So just imagine there's a gentleman standing at a bus stop one day, and he sees just behind him, he sees two gentlemen, one digging holes, you know, digging away, digging a hole, and then the other gentleman just filling the hole in. So he's like, what's going on? And this just continued, because, you know, sometimes you have to wait a while for a bus, and so they were onto their next hole, and it would get filled in, and next one would be dug out and filled in. So he's a bit curious. He's like, "What's going on here?" So he says to the chap, "Sir, you know, what's going on? What's with the digging the holes and, you know, the filling in?" He says, "Yeah, well, actually, the third guy, he didn't pitch up this morning. So what does he do?" He says, "Oh, he's the one that plants the trees." Yeah. So there you go. Just don't take anything for granted, eh? I wonder, if you were looking for a new organization to join, or were looking for a new employer, what would you be looking for? Perhaps you would want to know what they existed for, what their goals were, what their mission or their vision statement was. You might want to know about their values, their culture, how they might treat you if you joined them. Perhaps you would want to know how your gifts and skills could be utilized to help them reach their collective goals. Well, this week I was curious to see how the second largest airline in the UK would attract new customers, but also how they would attract new employees. And this is how Virgin Atlantic see their purpose. Today, Virgin Atlantic's purpose is to embrace the human spirit and to let it fly. This stems from our deeply rooted values to be optimistic, inclusive, and adventurous. Abiding by these daily ensures we remain a business for good, helping to develop as innovators and providing customers with unique experiences. Turning an ordinary like into an extraordinary love is one mission The other being changes in the air. A new sustainability program which sees Virgin Atlantic working with a number of charity partners and encouraging customers to offset their carbon. So step on board, receive a warm, personalized experience, and connect with the world around you. Find out more at Virgin Atlantic. Are you ready to book your flight? Are you ready? Are you ready to escape? Are you ready to go? Or are you ready to see if they've got any jobs on offer at the moment? There are some attractive offers here. Letting the human spirit fly, optimistic, inclusive, and adventurous. Business for good, innovators turning an ordinary like into an extraordinary love. A personalized experience connecting with the world around you. Our sermon today is titled, Begin with the End in Mind. According to Stephen Covey, the well-known leadership coach, one of the seven habits of highly effective people is that they orientate themselves to begin with the end in mind. Virgin certainly begin with the end in mind as they offer to embrace the human spirit, turning an ordinary like into an extraordinary love and inviting you to step on board. So, as Christians, what is the point of our faith and following Jesus Christ? What is the point of being part of the church that we are gathered with today, here in the building and online? What does it mean for us to meet here at Pip and Jim's to begin with the end in mind? You might say to me, yes, that's really easy to answer. But it's amazing how, no matter how simple something is in our lives, it can be easily forgotten and we can lose sight of it. A number of years ago, I heard a speaker describe this as a model for being a Christian disciple. And it's called Up, In, and Out. First up, to look to God, to be in and grow in faith in community, and to go out with the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. First, we look up to God. It's about knowing the love of God as a lived out experience in all our lives. It's about knowing the peace in our hearts and minds for what God the Father has done for each of us by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross. It's about being empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the life of a disciple. It's about orientating our lives in worship to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Secondly, it's about growing in community, in loving each other, growing in faith together, serving each other, encouraging each other, praying together, learning from God's word together. And thirdly, it's about going out of this community, the church, and loving the world, serving the world, connecting with the local community, sharing the good news, and seeing people come to a living faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, you might say that to be a healthy disciple of Jesus, you need a good balance of all three of these elements, up, in, and out. Would you like to join me in saying that? Up, in, and out. Very good. Let's do that one more time. Up, in, and out. Very good. When we think of these things that Jesus commanded us to do, they're in fact quite simple. One day, an expert of the Jewish law said to Jesus, "Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I don't know if you've noticed, but some people, before they die, can say some really profound and extraordinary things. Sir Isaac Newton, when he died, he was really humble. He said, "I don't know what I may seem to the world, but as to myself, I seem to have been only like a boy playing on the seashore and diverting myself now and then in finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than the ordinary, whilst the great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me." Leonardo da Vinci was also very modest by saying, "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have. The Mona Lisa just isn't good enough." Well, he had no idea, did he? He didn't know where that was going to lead. And the great creative industrialist, Steve Jobs, I mean, how do you describe Steve Jobs? According to Steve Jobs' sister, Mona, the Apple founder's last words were, "Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow." I think those are the words that are said by Apple fans every time a new iPhone comes out. Have you seen the, I mean, I've seen the queues outside, you know, phone shops when the next iPhone comes out. Very few people, before they leave the planet, commission their followers to carry on what they have started. Jesus Christ gave the greatest commission ever to his disciples. In John chapter 21, Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." That's you and me. We are his lambs and we are his sheep. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And in Mark chapter 14, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." As we think about the beginning, as we think of beginning with the end in mind, let us see how Jesus modeled this to us. Can we just say those words again? Up, in, and out. First, up. Jesus commanded us to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. Secondly, going inward. Jesus commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves and commissioned us to feed his lambs and his sheep. And thirdly, out. Jesus commissions us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Up, in, and out, beginning with the end in mind. During May, June, and July this year, we looked at the book of Nehemiah, which is part of the story of the nation of Israel coming out of exile. You could say from a very prolonged form of lockdown. It took many decades for the people to return and rebuild the temple, and even more decades before the walls of Jerusalem got completely fixed. But in the account of Nehemiah, we also see a return to worship, to sacrifice, to the retelling of the mighty acts of God. In their story, the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, the law. You also witness a spiritual revival and joyous gratitude as choirs lead worship on top of the walls. You also see resistance from outsiders who stand to lose their potential control of Jerusalem. And we also see people slipping back into old habits. But Nehemiah gets the job done. Towards the end of July, I received an email from a member of our church called Praying the Walls. In fact, I'd been to their home group that week, and they shared about how God had been prompting them to come to church on a Wednesday to pray. You remember when we had the church open on Wednesdays? And in fact, they were quite resistant to coming, actually, and they kind of put it off, and then God kept nudging them, and so they thought, right, I've got to go and see what God wants to say. So this is their story of what happened. I received a picture of myself praying the walls of Pip and Jim's. This led me to obey the command to physically pray the walls of the church. I walked into church for the private prayer time from 2 till 3 p.m. I was the first to arrive at 2 p.m. After a short while, Rita and then Tony turned up. I prayed about the praying the walls and felt that I should go ahead, so I opened my pocket Good News Bible where I bookmarked Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 to 16. As I stood to the left of the front door, facing the wall to the left, which is actually on my right, it's on your left, but it's on my right, this wall here, and stood midway along the wall, near a stone cross on the wall, I read the passage silently. Fire stood out as a word of note. I don't know the significance of fire, but it brought to mind the fire of the Holy Spirit. I prayed God's will. I stood before the large empty cross that hangs on the wall behind the altar. I read again the passage, and 3 days appeared significant. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. It seemed important. I prayed for new life, resurrected life, to infuse all at Pip and Jim's. I stood before the wooden paneled wall in front of the wall hanging that says, "For God so loved the world," that we can see here in the building. As I read the passage, I was drawn to the words donkey and rubble. It called to mind that Nehemiah had to circumnavigate obstacles. We will have obstacles to our endeavors, spiritual in the high places, emotional as our fears, physical battles over practicality. So Nehemiah had to walk through some of the rubble. We may have to wade through difficulties, and I prayed for wisdom and strength. I stood in front of the windowed wall, which is, when you've all got your backs to the wall, I am staring at the wall, the windowed wall. If you haven't been to Pip and Jim's, at the back of church, we have a whole set of windows that I'm looking out to right now. So I stood in front of the windowed wall that looked out into the world of Weedswood and Waterslade. I read the passage for the fourth time and noted the readiness of Nehemiah to rebuild the walls, to seek what really needs to be changed and rebuilt came to mind. What struck me most was that the foundations were still in place. There was rubble around, but the foundations were always there, firm and strong. They were waiting until the walls could be rebuilt. I prayed for strength and wisdom and knowledge to rebuild only that which needs to be restored. And in capital letters it says, "Let God do the rebuilding firm on the foundation of Jesus." So just to recap, wall number one, fire of the Holy Spirit. Wall two, new life resurrected to infuse all at Pip and Jim's. Wall three, to circumnavigate obstacles. and war for, to rebuild only that which needs to be restored. For the past 20 months, that the past 20 months has affected and continues to affect us all in different ways. There are as many views on the pandemic as there are people in church today. There has been an effect to the structure of our worship, our ministry, discipleship, fellowship, mission, and outreach here at Pip and Jim's. Not all members of our church have been able to return to worship and fellowship here. Many teams are having to be rebuilt and restarted as the restrictions are being eased. There are stones that are missing from our walls at the moment, you could say, in different ways. But you know what? I'd like to also say that while many of us have found the last 20 months a challenge, I've also heard stories of how people's faith has been deepened and strengthened during this time. During the rebuilding, Nehemiah called his people back to the law of Moses. While praying and reflecting on what we should study as a church, I wondered if we needed to return to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in this season. That is why this sermon series is called Back to the Gospel. Over the coming weeks and next few months, in the Gospel of Mark, we will look at hospitality. We will look at healing, distraction, discipleship, walking on the water, and being sent for adventure. And that will take us up to the beginning of Advent. You will notice over the weeks that we will be going backwards through the book of Mark. We don't normally, when we do a sermon series, don't normally go backwards. We normally go from the beginning to the end. But that's why we're beginning with the end in mind. That's what Jesus did. He knew what God was going to call him to. He knew that as the Messiah, he was going to have to die. When he chose to call his disciples, when he chose to minister for 3 years and teach his disciples about the kingdom of God, he knew that one day he was going to die. So he began with the end in mind. So, today, as we have begun with the end in mind, we've thought about some of the commands that Jesus gave to his disciples. We have thought about going up, in, and out. Repeat after me. Up, in, and out. Yeah. First up, as Jesus commanded us, to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. Secondly, as Jesus commanded us, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that he commissioned us to feed his lambs and take care of his sheep. And thirdly, as Jesus commissions us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation and make disciples of all nations. We've also thought about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah called his people back to their story, the law. And over the coming weeks, we are revisiting our story, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us begin with the end in mind as we go up in.